Got your Bibles with me, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11 this Sunday. We're kicking off a brand new series called Summer Soundtrack, and there are going to be multiple things that we talk about. The next week is going to be a special treat. You want to make sure you bring your friends and everybody and all your mamas and aunties and whatever in the building. We have our global pastor, Pastor Mike Patz from Gainesville, that's going to be with us. You do not want to miss that. But every week, we're just going to be hitting on different things. And today, as we're heading out into the first week of summer, anybody excited for summer? For some of y'all that are adulting, you're like, man, nothing changes. For parents, everything changes. That was like a sorrow, like, oh. And I get it. And so I thought the first soundtrack that I want to talk about is rest. I want to talk about what does it look like to have real rest for real people with real lives. And I want to open with this question. I want you to think about it. Here's the question. If your soul had a soundtrack, what would it be playing right now? Let me say that again. If your soul had a soundtrack, what would it be playing right now? My wife was messing with me this morning. She's like, Mike, you look real emo right now. I'm like, I was like, well, what would be my song? You know, I don't know, you know. Think about that just for a second. What would be the soundtrack of your soul? Would it be calm and steady? Or would it sound more like chaos? Kind of like a mashup of stress and worry and deadlines and guilt and insecurities and noise. Would it be stuck on repeat? Maybe the soundtrack of your soul is replaying the moments of your past that you're trying to forget, or the anxiety that plays in the background where everyone on the outside sees one thing, but on the inside you see what's really there. Would your soundtrack, would it be living in the beat of hurry or drowning in the symphony of silence? If your soul had a soundtrack, would it sound more like freedom or would it sound more like frantic? Would it sound like you're entering into the presence of God, or would it be drowned out because of the mounting pressure of exceeding people's expectations of you? What would be your soundtrack? This morning, I want to go there because wherever your soundtrack lands, here's what I need you to know. There is chaos in this world. And if you live long enough, you recognize that it's not just the chaos out there, it's also the chaos in here. And the chaos within our souls can feel so deafening. But this is what I want us to see. Jesus didn't come to just turn down the volume of the world. He came to change the tune of the song that is playing within our souls. That's what we're doing today. There is a soundtrack that when the world seems undeniably chaotic, when the pressures and weight of following Jesus seems too much, and it makes you feel like you're holding out your tongue to not go off on your boss or to not go off on your kids, and you feel like you're drowning, when it feels like your life is full of sorrow, what is the soundtrack that Jesus is playing? It's right here in verse 28 of Matthew 11. Now, I'm not going to have you stand today, but it goes like this. This is what Jesus says. He says, hey, wherever you're at, whatever your soundtrack looks like, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's not background music. That's an invitation to an entirely new rhythm. Let's pray. Jesus, God, I ask that you would help us right now to rework the rhythms of our hearts, to believe your gospel and what you have in your word. Open up our ears and our eyes in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. We're talking about rest, and if I'm honest with you, sometimes I feel like a straight-up hypocrite when it comes to rest. I discovered in college that I am an Enneagram 3. Any other Enneagram 3s in here? Any 3s in here? Okay. Maybe I'm the only one. Is there another one in here? I thought, okay, Heather, we're in this together. All right, some of you guys are like, what in the world is Enneagram? In short, this 3 means that you are a natural achiever. Like, you like to achieve, and you will stop at nothing when you are not healthy to accomplish a goal. And I was thinking about this because this Enneagram 3, it makes me think of just the moments growing up with my mom. I remember my mom would just have me in every activity in the world. Anybody like that? Like mom had me in Boy Scouts. Mom had me in Sea Cadets, ROTC, Leadership Jackson. I mean, there are so many things. And I can even right now, as we're going into summer, I just picked up my son for his last day of school. I'm like, hey, this is going to be a fun summer. But I remember for us, I had like this one moment where I'm just free. I'm just excited. Anybody have a moment where you're just, you know, the last day of school, you're jumping off the school bus, you're excited for a break and rest and not teachers yelling in your face. And all of a sudden, I as I'm thinking about just this idea of rest, I can still hear the echoes of my mom as I'm trying to get rest in my room and I'm on my Nintendo 64. I can still hear the echoes of, hey, baby, I know it's summer, but you ain't just going to be sitting here in my house doing nothing. Was anybody else mama like that? Like, hey, you. And I know it sounds funny, but honestly, there's a part of me that has built up my life on this idea of going and going and going. Even for some of us, we built up our lives to get accepted into a college. And when we were in college, we built up our lives to get accepted into a career. And we gave ourselves to this thing and that thing, and we didn't even think about the consequences of this pace. See, there's a reality in me, if I'm honest with you. I'm so not consistent with rest. When I'm out of it, I realize I need it. And when I'm in it, I feel like I'll be there forever. But there is a rhythm of this chaotic world that is trying to get us at a pace that is not the pace that God has designed for us. And I don't believe that's just me. In fact, there is a poll that just came out where it said that 59% of Americans find it extremely difficult to balance both work and their personal schedules. As a matter of fact, it says that the average participant felt like they were so busy with life that they felt that if they had to put a number on it, that they only had 26 minutes of free time each week that they could do what they wanted to do. There are some of us, we are running at such a pace, we don't even realize we're exhausted. And I think if we slow down, we would see and discover that we are overloaded and overworked. We look at our work and our inboxes are full. We go home and our fridge is empty, laundry piled up, bills need paying, missing deadlines because we're so busy that we're unable to prioritize and identify what comes next. And as much as our souls long for rest, here's what makes this impossible. The greatest enemy to the life that you and I want may be the life that you're currently living. The pace that you want in your life may be impossible because of the pace that you're currently living. See, here's what I found is that there are no quick fixes for exhaustion. You can't fix soul exhaustion with a nap. You can't heal chronic busyness with a weekend off. And you can't find peace by running harder towards the same thing that's wearing you out. Isn't that true? There has to be something different. There has to be a turning away. And Jesus knows this, which is why in Matthew 11, Jesus doesn't offer a technique. He doesn't offer a pass holder Disney discount. He offers himself. And what he has to say is the most radical invitation in Scripture for our generation. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Does anyone need deliverance from chaos? This morning, this is what I want to do quickly. I want to walk line by line through this passage. And I want us to move through this passage, not like tourists on vacation, because Lord knows us Americans, we long for the European vacation, right? Where we can just slow down, but then we come back to our chaotic lives. I want us to move through this passage with the faith that we actually want to move into this reality. How do we find deliverance from our soul that is weary and burdened? Here's the first lyric, I mean verse, Jesus says. Jesus says, come to me. Look at your neighbor and say, come to me. Come to me. You want to find rest? Come to me. Now, this context is really important here. In fact, one of the jobs as a Bible teacher is to help you learn how to read and to discover the Bible for yourself. And one of the most basic principles that you should know that when you're reading the Bible is that context is everything. So what do we need to know about this? What we see in Scripture is that Jesus is not saying words to a crowd of spiritual elites. He's speaking to a group that is religiously exhausted. These are people where the Pharisees have spent their entire lives putting on the commands on their back. This is a yoke that the people had to live up to. This is the yoke outside of the law and outside of God's way that they would literally add 600 plus commands to say, hey, you want to get close to God? You got to live like this. Oh, you're doing this? Oh, actually, you got to add this on top of it. Oh, you're doing that? Oh, actually, there's like 20,000 more things for you to do and actually for you to get close to God. And so when Jesus is talking to this group, he's talking to a people that are so spiritually depressed. They're weary. They're burdened. They're so used to hearing things like keep your distance. Man, make sure you clean yourself up first. You better walk careful or else. And this even gets reinforced in the Old Testament because we see moments with Moses where Moses, before he could ever come into contact with God, he had to do what? He had to kind of separate himself. He had to get holy. He has to become like clean in a way to be able to approach God. And we see this in Leviticus. Whenever there was sacrifices, there would be one person, the high priest, that would kind of go before on account of the people's sin. They would go into the holies of holies. And that high priest had to be made right. We see moments where in Numbers, where if you were impure, you had to go on the outside. And so if you can imagine, if you can kind of look at the context of the people that God is talking to at this moment, separation and striving were always a part of the game. It was the framework of how they related to God. And so when Jesus stands up and he says, come to me, this statement was not only revolutionary, it shatters their world. Because for the first time, the message was not, go do more. The message was not, oh, go fix yourself up. The message that Jesus is giving is, just come. Just come. Some of you need to hear that message this morning. Jesus is not asking for you to go and fix yourself up. He's saying, hey, just come. Before the self-improvement thought goes into your mind, Jesus says, hey, just come. How revolutionary is that? That the people were always looking to God as a scorekeeper, and yet at this moment, he's relating to them as a shepherd. Just come. You're burdened. You're heavy laden. You're weary. Just come to me. It's funny because even today, I'm kind of brushing my hair out. Even today, it's funny because we hear that invitation. We read these words. And there's an inclination in all of us to go everywhere else first. Isn't that right? God says, come to me, but we run to people. We run to planning. We run to performance. We go to ChatGPT and say, hey, how do I get out of this mess? I was talking to my barber the other day, and he had just got baptized, and God was doing some cool stuff in his life, and all of a sudden started to get sidetracked. He was like, hey, you know, it's like, yeah, I've been going through, I'm depressed. I was like, hey, are you talking to like one of your small group leaders or whatever? He's like, no. He said, my friend just told me to talk to ChatGPT. And he was like, ChatGPT has become like an amazing therapist. But we go to all these different places. We text a friend before we decide to pray. We open our calendars before we open up his word. We dive into work because being productive at times feels easier than being still. Isn't that right? Some of us don't even know we're running. We've just gotten so used to the motion that silence feels so threatening. And so we drown ourselves in the noise, and we binge a show on Netflix, and we doom scroll on social media, and we grab our phones before we even have the chance to get into his presence. And let me even just talk to some of our church folks, because you ain't excluded. We'll even spiritualize our avoidance. We'll join a Bible study. We'll serve on a team. We'll read another book except for God's word. Not because we're trying to draw near to him, but because we're trying to earn what he's already given freely. Jesus says, come to me. See, here's the truth that I want us to sit in. Nothing else can give you what your soul is searching for. You ever made it to the end of a binge-watching Netflix show thinking that it was going to give you peace? No, it was chaos, because you're like, man, what am I going to watch next? You ever been talking to a friend and you download everything, you're hoping that they would have all the solutions and give you peace, and you walk out of the phone more frustrated than you started? You ever had a moment where you're talking to your spouse and all of a sudden you're looking for their help in one thing, but then they end up giving solutions to a whole other thing that's not even the thing that you're talking about, right? We have the temptation to run to every place except for God. And I believe he's asking some of us today, why do you go to everything else except for me? Why do you go and run to everything else except running towards me? This week I was struggling because I've been giving you guys kind of like the house updates or whatever. We found a house. We're moving to Tampa. It's amazing. I'm excited. Yeah. So that's the good news. The challenging news is that we got to move in like 2 weeks. And I was just stressed. I was like, man, like, what in the world are we going to do? Not only that, I'm trying to make sure my mom is taken care of because she had a fall at work. She broke her wrist. And so we're just trying to figure out how to navigate that. The stress of my wife and I, like, she works almost 45, 50 minutes away, which is one of the reasons why we're moving. And so every day we go out exhausted and we come back exhausted. There's so many different things this week that was getting the best of me. I was weary. And Memorial Day is there, so I wanted to take off. And the next thing you know, I'm trying to get into the scripture. And I feel behind and trying to get content set up for this week with Pastor Malik and all these different things. And there was just a moment where I just wanted to scream inside. I want to go to ChatGPT and say, hey, help me. Hey, lay this out for me real quick, all right? And then there was a moment where I was in my office with all of my work, and I just felt like a whisper. I felt God say, come to me. It's so convicting because you're talking through a passage where you're supposed to be on the other side of this. And if I'm honest, as your pastor, sometimes I am in it. And I end up leaving my office, and I'm going to our living room, like, dining table, which was all just janky because, like, our microchurch came and helped us move, and so there's boxes everywhere, there's chaos everywhere. And it's crazy because in the middle of all of that chaos, as I came to him, there was peace. God's word and whisper would speak to my heart just because I decided to tune out the distractions of the world and to choose to say, you know what, I'm going to take a second, which turned into an hour, which turned into several hours of not work, but just abiding. Jesus says, come to me, but that's not the only thing. He says, come to me, all of you, and here's number two, who are weary and burdened. Point number two is that you have to admit that you're carrying too much. A part of this freedom is understanding that some of us in here, we're running on fumes. Isn't that right? You don't know it, but everybody else does. You got fumes of your attitude. You got fumes of complaining. You got fumes of exhaustion, like you just can't give out what you really want to give out. Like, some of us are just so exhausted, and it's not because you're weak. It's because you're carrying things that Jesus has never asked you to carry. And as we slow down just a little bit, here's what we see. Jesus doesn't say, come to me if and when you get it together. No, he says, come to me all who are weary, currently weary and burdened. This word weary, we look at it and it's just like, oh man, okay, I've always been weary. But here's what it looks like in the Greek. The word weary doesn't mean just a little bit tired. It means beat down from labor. It's the word that kind of get used in example of like the Israelites when they were slaves to the Pharaoh in Egypt. There's the constant beating down and pressure of the day. What Jesus is saying in this word, he's saying, hey, there are some of you that are so weary that it feels like you've been beat down your entire life. It feels like you can't even breathe. But it's not even just weary, it's also a burden, which burden means that there's things that are being putting on you that are not your weight, that is someone else's load that has been put on you. Some of you feel it at job, some of you feel it at home. But check out what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying here, he's not relating your struggle to a future moment. He's saying right where you are, come to me. Jesus is making the statement that if you already feel overwhelmed, And if you already have anxiety, come to me. I even love here that he doesn't even name the burden. Maybe some of you, your burden is shame. That man, maybe that record just keeps playing, that soundtrack keeps playing over and over again. Maybe your burden is sin. It's what you do when no one's looking. It's the silent addictions. Maybe your burden is financial. Maybe you're in a place where you feel like the whole world is financially crushing you right now and you can't see a way out. Maybe your burden deals with your marriage where somehow in this season, you and your spouse are just not connecting. You're not seeing eye to eye. Jesus tells us that in this moment, without you even trying to get yourself right, instead of just trying to, you know, make yourself more holy, make yourself more righteous, try to fix yourself, Jesus invites you. He says, all of you who are weary and burdened, come to me. Why? Here's the third thing. Because I've come to give you what? Say that with me. In him is the rest your soul craves. In him is the rest your soul craves. It's crazy because this week I've been trying to get Kaysen ready for the summer because he's going to be with me Mondays and Tuesdays. If anybody want to steal him on a Monday and Tuesday, let me know. But he's going to be with me because he's not in daycare and mom's kind of working or whatever. And so he's going to be with me Monday and Tuesdays. So I'm trying to work on his patience. If you know my son, he is an energetic 3-year-old. And when we're home, he's bouncing off of couch to couch, and he's running here, and he's excited there. And I love it sometimes. And so I don't even really have a reason. Just sometimes I'm like, hey, Kaysen, we're just going to sit here. He's like, why? Am I in trouble? Like, nope, you're not in trouble. We're just going to sit. We ain't going to do nothing. And he just doesn't understand it. And he looks back at me, and he says these words. He's like, Daddy, sitting still is just too hard. I can't do it, Daddy. I don't want to sit still. And I was thinking about this because when we think of rest, I think immediately we go to just sitting still. Now listen, rest does allow you to be able to sit still in moments. But I think sometimes we, especially in our Americanistic way, like we kind of make this ideal of rest. When we say rest, it means that, like, you know what? I don't have to work hard. I don't have to try. I don't have to have effort. You know, God's just going to open up all the doors for me, and I'm just going to walk in. As a matter of fact, he's just going to carry me in. Now, listen, God is going to open doors for you. But this rest that Jesus is using is not a rest that says you're just still. This rest is, it literally means inner renewal. It was a rest that revives the soul. In rabbinic language, rest was always tied to shalom, which means shalom was not just rest from your labor. It was also a way to be able to align yourself with God. Does that make sense? What rest means is that when you and I rest in God, in that moment, we are finding alignment with God. In our world, just like a car gets out of alignment sometimes, go over a bump on the expressway and you just mad because you just got an alignment done and all of a sudden your wheel is starting to curve. Like, there's a part of us that as we go throughout this life, our wheels, our life wheels, they get out of alignment. Rest is the one thing that God has allowed us to be able to have in our life, the joy of rest that aligns us in his will. There's a moment where we had a worship night probably a few months ago, and we had an acoustic. You know, sometimes we'll have a drum, sometimes we'll have the cajon, and I look at Darren playing the cajon. I'm like, man, I could do that. I'm like, man, that's easy, you know? And so there was a night where Sam was leading on the cajon, and he was killing it, but his back was starting to hurt, and so we were towards the end of the night, and I didn't have anything else to say, and it was just a fun time. It was just like a joyful time, and I was like, you know what? Sam, just take a break. I got this. And I jump on a cajon, and kid you not, I mean, I got a little bit of rhythm, maybe, sort of. Maybe my friends would say no, but this thing was hard because the whole role of the cajon was kind of like a metronome. Is that how it's called, a metronome? Where the cajon is keeping the rhythm and the beat of the worship team. And it was so hard to stay in alignment that as I was moving out of alignment with the worship team, their eyes started looking at me like, boy, get off this thing. Because the metronome or the cajon, it controls the tempo of where the band needs to go. Does that make sense? When you rest, that alignment controls for you as a believer the route that you're supposed to go. And when you spend your life not connecting with God, when you spend your life going to every other resource but God, you can't help but get out of alignment. And not only out of alignment, it doesn't just affect you. It affects the entire band, i.e. the family, your jobs, your friends. When you're out of alignment, it's kind of like eating a Snickers bar. Like everybody else knows. Like you're not yourself when you're hungry, right? The same thing happens when you're in alignment with God. But as we connect with God, God begins to move in our lives. Worship team, you can go up because he tells us how to rest. He says, man, find your rest in me. But here is what we learn from Jesus. Here's the fourth thing. He doesn't just say even just run, like take rest in me. He says this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In this book called Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, this author, John Mark Comer, I was reading this and he points out something that we oftentimes miss. And it's funny because Jesus spends literally the first two verses explaining why we need rest from the yoke of religiosity and the burden of a religion. And then in this moment, he offers a whole different type of yoke. For those of you who are wondering, yoke is not like an egg yoke or anything like that. Like this yoke was a tool that was meant for oxen that they would, like as they were plowing out things together on the land, these oxen would be yoked together and they would literally do what, like two oxen could do what 10 things could do because of like their unity together. And so it's crazy because he says, hey, don't get the yoke of religion. He says, take the yoke of me. Now, I find this really strange because, again, Jesus just talked about offering rest, and now he's offering work. Check that out. Don't miss this. He spent all of his time offering rest, and now Jesus is offering work. What in the world is he doing? Isn't that the last thing that you want a burned-out worker to do, right? Like, hey, man, you're burned out. Hey, I got this 20-hour job over here. You know, going to take it, right? Like that is not what seems common unless Jesus sees something and understands something about life that we don't get. And I think it's this. I think Jesus understands that regardless of what I save you from and deliver you from, Jesus says in this life, there's going to be hardships of all kinds. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. I think he's making it really plain to us because I think sometimes when we go into Christianity, we get sold the lie that once we start following Jesus, everything else is going to be made right. All of your worries, troubles, they'll all just disappear. That is not the gospel. How many of you guys know that's not what Jesus promises? He says that, hey, when you go through this life, you get me. And what he's saying in this moment, he says, yoke to me. Because I think Jesus is really just wise. He says, it's this understanding that bills are going to come. Grief is still going to hit. Deadlines are still going to hang over your head. Parenting is not going to pause. Aging doesn't wait. The pressure at times doesn't let up. But instead of just giving you a temporary escape, I'm going to give you a way to carry through it. That's what Jesus offers when he says, take up my yoke. If you're in here today and you feel weary, he offers his strength. If you're in a moment where the world is crashing and you don't know what to do, when you're yoked to Jesus, he offers his wisdom. Maybe you're in here and life feels like a disappointment. It's like, man, what in the world am I dealing with right now? When the rest of the world has sorrow, he gives you his joy. You ever seen someone that's in like the heat of disappointment and sorrow, and yet they have a joy that surpasses even some of our joy? You're like, man, why are you smiling right now? Why do you have so much peace right now? If I were in your shoes, I would disown God. Why are you clinging so close to him? Why? Because that disciple has learned not just to be delivered from him, but to overcome with him. Jesus has made you an overcomer. And here's the reality. Jesus doesn't just shoulder the weight. He invites us to walk with him and learn from him. Not just what he does, but how he does it. Here's what I want us to do with this sermon today. And I'm hoping that we begin the journey of having this new soundtrack on our souls. Number one is this. I want us to decide today to relinquish the throne of productivity and the pace of life that we get from this world. I want you to relinquish that. And I want you to give it to Jesus. I just want you to see, listen, if I could just be a good big brother to you, a good pastor to you, listen, the pace of the world is going to end you. Tampa is a working place city. And this is a pace that is just daunting. I remember moving from Gainesville. I was like, man, what in the world? Like, everyone's going 1,000 miles a minute. Even for me as a church planter, we want to plant different because we recognize that you can have churches, but you might not get disciples. But if you plant disciples, you'll always get the church. And it is really hard because when I look at the pace of church planters here in this city, I'm like, oh my gosh. Man, we could have had a building right now. We could have had this. We could have that. Like, man, if we just cut off on our generosity, oh man, we could have, like, and then I go and connect with God. I'm like, you know what? Listen, they're doing amazing things. God is blowing up their world. I love it. But here's what God has called us to. I want us to have that type of peace where the rest of the world is running at a pace that, to be honest, you want to be invited into, but then you go and connect with the Father and you're okay with the pace that he's marked out for you. Decide today to relinquish control of that throne. But then number two is I want you to commit to learn his rhythm. God has a rhythm. Three things that if you're taking notes that you can begin to apply this week. The first one is, you can put up the slide here. Do we have that? Three things we see. As Jesus was giving us an example in ministry, the first thing he did, he had moments where he diverted daily. Jesus would wake up and the first thing on his phone was not ESPN trying to figure out who won the Knicks in Indiana. Indiana won, by the way. It wasn't opening up Gmail to try and figure out how to catch up before you actually get to work. The first thing that Jesus did, he went away and he went and prayed with his Father. Oftentimes they would do ministry and Jesus would say, hey, you guys go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and just connect with the Father and I'll be there. Even the way that Jesus diverted daily, there's moments where we are so full pace in what we feel like is the way that we need to go that we miss out on opportunities to be a blessing. We even see this moment where Jesus, he literally, the quickest way was not the way he took. He would go around to go and meet with a woman in Samaria because he was willing to be diverted. Connect with God. The first thing that you wake up, don't. And listen, I get cell phone temptation. Maybe it might mean that your cell phone needs to go in the kitchen. The alarm needs to get there. And so it'll wake your bed up. Like, I promise, what if you chose daily to start your day with God? It's funny because we even spiritualize quiet times, right? It's like, oh man, I had my quiet time in the morning. Great. Listen, your quiet time was just not a morning rhythm. It's a whenever you need him rhythm. But go and withdraw and, like, connect with him. Second thing is withdraw weekly. Not only are we connecting with him daily, but get into the habit of having a weekly Sabbath. This is 24 hours where you say, you know what, I'm going to drop the phone, I'm going to drop the work, and I'm going to choose to connect with him. That is so hard for us. But I'm telling you, when weeks seem crazy and daunting, and I feel like I can't control it, I feel like I'm so overwhelmed, listen, one Sabbath restores my soul. One Sabbath restores and puts me back into alignment. Embrace this weekly rhythm of Sabbath. But then the third thing is to abandon annually. Two things with that. I think, number one, I think our lives were made for adventure and generosity. I think that I said that a couple of weeks ago. One of the things that is helpful for us, and we don't do this perfectly, especially right now, Lord knows right now. But one of the things that I like, it gives us breathing room in our schedule, is that when Danny and I can get together at the beginning of the year and we set our vacations for the entire year. Here's why this is important. Because you don't know what your year is going to look like, but you've already decided first how you're going to retreat away. Which means when you go through busy deadlines and crazy things at work, you know what's in the back of your mind? You know what, in May, our anniversary, man, we're going away. Oh man, we got this family trip coming up. Oh man, I'm excited for that. That pace is so good. But it's not even just for family moments or to go to Portugal or Spain or wherever you want to go. I dare you to even have moments where annually you just have a prayer retreat, where you just disconnect and you grab your journal and your Bible, and that's the only thing. And you just say, God, it's going to be hard. Maybe I might be like Casey a little bit, like, Daddy, this is hard. Listen, it is. But I promise you, as we discipline ourselves, it leads to a desire that leads to a delight. And I pray, if you've never done this before, take 24, 48 hours, take a weekend, go grab an Airbnb tiny house somewhere, I don't know. And just go and be with your Heavenly Father and watch as He fills your cup. You got a deadline or a decision that you got to make. Man, don't do it without retreating away and getting with Jesus. Make that the habit for your family. Like, hey, we got some serious things we got to talk about with our finances. Okay, what's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to go retreat away, and we're going to go and be with Jesus. Amen? I want us to end with communion. I want to invite the worship team to come up, and I want to end our time with communion. And this is going to be a time where we get a chance to remember Him. But I want to remind us, as we're getting ready for communion, as we get a chance to end today, Jesus says in Matthew 5, I think, yeah, that you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt. Your role is to what? Push back decay. It's, man, Mike, okay, what if I don't get this? Listen, this rhythm was not even just meant for you. It was meant for the people that you're going to oversee. It was meant for your family that you're interacting with on a daily basis. It's meant for the people that you're going to lead to Jesus. Man, can I even just invite you? What would it look like for us to actually move into this peace and joy? Imagine if we live life knowing that we didn't need to retreat to a beach to find peace, or we didn't need a vacation to find joy. What if we lived in such a way where we just knew the time that we get refreshed is when we plug back into the source? Because when the Prince of Peace gets invited into the room, there is nothing that He cannot overcome. Friends, if Jesus walked into your chaos and brought about resurrection from death, what can He not do this week? What could He not do in your living room, in your conversation, in your marriage, in your mind? As we remember Him this morning, I want us to see that it's not that just we carry peace, but peace carries you. It's not just that we have joy, but joy carries you. Mike, I don't get it. Like, what in the world does this mean? It means that God's got you. Hebrews 12, and if I can get a cup as well, I think I need one, if I can get some elements as well. Thank you. The one who knows Jesus gets their life flipped upside down for good. How in the world can we live like this? We want it. We desire it. We want that to be the soundtrack of our soul. But it's going to take us not trying to make this thing happen. It's going to be us lifting our eyes to the one who has already made this thing happen. Here's where I want to look at Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, listen to me, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Looking to Jesus, the only way we can get the rhythm of rest is not by our striving, it's by our looking. Looking to Jesus. Today, just for a moment, I want you to look to Jesus. And I want you to evaluate your rest. And worship team, if you could just begin to just take a moment to sing behind them. I want you to evaluate, who are you resting in? Are you resting in yourself and your abilities? Or will you embrace the good news where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.